Right.
I explained it.
Okay, give me a second. I gotta get set up. Okay. Can y'all hear me? Okay. So hi, I'm Leah. I'm grateful that my group chose me to speak. This is, oh, I feel like I'm at school. I'm grateful that my group gave me the opportunity to share. This is my first time kind of sharing my story outside of my group. So it's a little nerve-wracking and it's a little humbling to do this. But it honestly helps me make amends to myself. So I hope that what I share with my experience, my strength, and my hope is something that resonates with you, because it's gonna be cathartic for me for sure. just a warning, I am a crier, so I have my tissues. My group can attest to that. And I'm also like a jokester and a laugher, so I'm gonna keep you on your toes, hopefully. so here's some general stats just to kind of set the stage. I've been a teacher for 17 years and with my husband, who's my qualifier, for about the same amount of time. We've been married for 15 years and we have kids that are 10 and almost 13. And I'm a relative newcomer to Al-Anon. It's been just over 2 years in this journey of recovery. And my husband is almost 2 years sober. And so we love recovery in our house. We're a recovery family. And so while I say that I love recovery now, I didn't really know what that meant when I started this journey like 2.5 years ago. To say that the 2+ years that I have experienced changed my life is like an understatement, like the biggest understatement of the world. When I came into the program in August of 2020, it was over Zoom. And so my life was a list of the don'ts. Don't keep checking up on the alcoholic. This was my forte. He probably didn't know it, but this is what kept me sick the most. I was checking all of the time. Why is he going outside of the house? Why is he going to the car so much? Where is his alcohol? How can I hide it? What can I do? Can I pour it out? And I resented him for his behavior. Don't try to dominate, nag, scold, or complain. And I was also really good at this one. I don't know. I mean, he can attest to the nagging and the scolding, but I always had this feeling of like, I know how to do things. So if you just did it my way, that would be awesome. So if I just tell you all of the time how to do it, then maybe if my words will make you stop somehow magically. Don't try to push anyone but yourself. I tried to push everyone because of course I knew what was best for everyone. So I will tell you how to do it. And that includes, you know, my students, friends, my kids, like all of that. Like I will push you all and I'll make you go this way. Don't lose your temper. And I didn't even realize that I had become so irritable. I didn't realize that I was on this merry-go-round that made me angry. And I didn't know why. I didn't know like what it was. I just felt annoyed like all the time. And that's actually one of the things that I made my amends to my kids about, was about being angry mommy, because I didn't want to be like that. See the tears. Don't keep bringing up the past. I never let a chance go by to let my husband know how annoyed I was about things that he had done in the past or things that were currently happening that remind me of something that had happened in the past, and keeping that like resentment going and keeping that building, you know, and that feeling of whatever had happened was still wrong. It was still ongoing. Don't make threats you don't intend to carry out. I gave my husband plenty of ultimatums hoping for change, but it would only set myself up for resentment. I just kept pushing the line and pushing the barriers and making those threats. Don't be self-righteous. I thought I was better than him. And I didn't think that until recently when I started talking to him and making some amends. Because of course he was the alcoholic and he had the problems, not me. And I never thought of myself as a self-righteous person, but there I was, being self-righteous. I was emotionally raw when I attended my first Al-Anon meeting on August 5th, 2020. I still remember the speaker. She's here. And some of you were there in my first meeting. I had heard of Al-Anon, and a friend who attends AA locally recommended this particular meeting, this Wednesday night meeting, for me. Well, the first meeting, I had no idea what I was in for. Like, I sat in the Zoom, and I remember sitting outside and to try to have some relative quiet at my house. And it was a nice summer night, but I was like, I have no idea what this is going to be like. That first meeting, after the speaker shared and then other people shared their shares, I was a little bit blown away because I was like, these people are not talking about their alcoholic. Like, what is going on? I thought we were here to fix people. I wanted the answers. You know, I wanted to be cured and to know, like, okay, this is what I'm supposed to do. I do this, 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 and this. But I was kind of flabbergasted that this was a program that was about me and for me. And that first time that I heard the list of do's and don'ts, I was like, So it clung to me. This is why I wanted to speak about this tonight. The next few months after I attended my first Al-Anon meeting were a blur. I still remind you that this is during COVID. Things did not get better, they got worse. But I still attended my meetings, and I really needed the meetings. COVID was raging, and I couldn't go anywhere in person to get any help because it was, you know, 2020, 2021. And I couldn't really go to get a hug from friends or a hug from family. And I felt alone and hopeless until I attended meetings, until I started going and seeing that there were people that had this strength and this hope that made me feel so much better. And I really needed that. In September, I was teaching online, which was so fun, while also trying to keep my own children online, which was also super fun. And it was just rough at best. And in October, I took a new job, hoping to change the things that I couldn't change. I didn't know that at the time, but I thought, oh, if I take this new job, then things will be better. But it wasn't changing the things that I couldn't change. November, December, and January were filled with fights, a hospital visit, counseling, and finally rock bottom. And I finally got a hug from my mom during this time, and it was the hug. Like, I hadn't been able to hug my mom in a year, so it was like the hug. I was like, yes. Don't be a doormat. While things got worse for my husband and I during that time, I was learning how to set boundaries and how to make myself healthier. I hung on every share that everybody shared, every word from the literature, every slogan. It was my lifeline. I didn't know it, but it was slowly strengthening me from the inside. I was forced to do this on my own. And while that was certainly difficult, I was learning how to not be a doormat. I'd always prided myself on being a strong, independent woman, but I never thought of myself specifically as a doormat. But I didn't realize that this time was truly strengthening me. It was also showing me that I had a lack of boundaries, about what I needed, what I wanted, and what was healthy for me. And I didn't realize that that lack of boundaries was bringing me closer and closer to the floor like a doormat. So I was terrified and proud all at the same time that I kind of had this realization. And so I wanted to turn things around and make my life like the list of do's. Do be honest with yourself. My husband went into treatment in January, and while I was apprehensive about the treatment, I was hopeful. It felt like a weight had been lifted. I knew that him going into treatment didn't mean that either one of us was cured, obviously, but it was a start. It was the start of a new way for our family to be. This recovery time, it was a strange time for me. Because it was hard to have them away because again, there's a new job and I have my kids and I'm teaching and doing all of this stuff. And there was a raging pandemic, but even though that was a strange time, I was feeling stronger and healthier every day, physically and emotionally. I was attending meetings. I was doing a lot of reading. I was meditating. I was taking care of myself. It was amazing. I had routines down that were helping me feel healthier. And I was becoming healthier inside and out. And to my surprise, when my husband decided to stay in treatment for another 30 days, even though that was a hard decision, that was something that I knew that truly was healthy for him and for me and for our family. It was a reset. And it made me feel even stronger. made me feel like, oh, I can do this. But during this time, I really had to reflect on my side of the street, and it was a dirty side of the street. I had not done any street sweeping in quite some time. And that's when I realized that I had been angry and anxious and blamed my husband for all that had happened. I didn't cure his alcoholism. I can't control it and I can't cure it, but I certainly did contribute to our chaos. I had to be honest about how I was contributing to keeping the disease of alcoholism alive in our home. I realized that I had allowed myself to stay on this roller coaster that I had hated for so long. And I was like, why am I staying on this roller coaster of these emotions and everything that I had been hating? I kept paying for this ticket and bringing my resentments along with me and like, well, here we go again, you know? I didn't see it at the time. And once I started being honest with myself, I realized that I was contributing to the chaos that was happening in our home. And it was difficult, but it was really the reset that we both needed during that time for him to be away. Do attend Al-Anon meetings often. I made it a priority to attend as many meetings as I could. And I settled on this meeting, the Wednesday meeting, as my home meeting, but I had the opportunity to jump on Zoom calls in different states and different time zones. How great is it that we have somebody from New Zealand? Because it's such a great program that you can go anywhere at any time and you can get that reassurance and you can get that wonderful family that that we all love and that Bud talked about. There was a comfort in the routines that happened that definitely, that going from meeting to meeting, it was helpful to hear the same readings and the same stories that were reflected. And even though they weren't my exact story, they were still something that I could hear and things that I could gather some comfort from. And there was some predictability in the meetings and what we said and what we did. And it was helpful to be able to have that sense of order and control, which is something that I've always liked. The unique format of a meeting of being listened to and talking and then it being quiet sometimes is unique. Like that feeling in other meetings that you go to in your daily lives of other things, it's different to be talking and people are listening and there's nothing else that's happening. And then sometimes it's quiet and there's no crosstalk and we're just talking. Like that unique experience, that was definitely something that I craved and I needed some of that. So yes, I started going to meetings because of the alcoholic in my life, but it became so much more about me. And I realized that the more I attended and the more, you know, I was like, we're still not talking about our alcoholics. Like, what is this? There's no, you know, thing. But it was something that became a lifeline for my mental health. It was something that as I started going to the meetings more and more and realizing, oh, this is about me and how I can use these tools, not only with my qualifier, but also like other situations and other people and then in all our affairs, you know, it became that for me. Do be humble. I am not God. I am not my higher power. I am not my husband's higher power. I am not even my kids' higher power. I am so used to being in charge and being in control that it became like my drug of choice, my way to figure out what to do with situations that didn't make sense was to be in control of them. And I never thought about how that could be harmful because I always just kind of brushed it off as part of my personality and part of my job. And, you know, like, well, I'm a teacher and a mom, you know, like, okay, you know, it's just what it's supposed to be. But, well, yes, that's true. I mean, I am a teacher, I'm a mother, and I get to, you know, be in charge sometimes. And I am an assertive woman, and sometimes it's helpful. I am not in control of others. And this is a thing that has resonated with me a lot. I'm not in control. I was even saying it today to people. I am not in control of other people. We can't control what other people are doing or what they're saying. And if I control other people too much, I'm robbing them of the dignity to make their own choices. And if I am up in their business all the time, that's not helping them be their own person and being who they're supposed to be. So while it's really easy to think about that I know what other people should be doing, that is not my decision to make. They are free to make their own choices because everybody's on their own path. It's not for me to decide. Do take it easy. Tension is harmful. Before Al-Anon, I feel like I was letting life live me. Like, I was just like, whoa, what is going on here? I was tense about everything, and I didn't realize how harmful that tension was, physically and emotionally. I had to learn to live life one day at a time. Because I used to think that that slogan was kind of cliche before I was in the program, but I clung to it for like the first 6 months because I was like, I have to live one day at a time. And there is even on the back of our bedroom door, there's a little thing, a scrapbooking thing that says one day at a time, keep it simple, because I needed something to keep the tension away, to truly like, I need to take it easy. I had to learn to live in the moment and not future trip. Because that is where I will pack my bags and go. As soon as I get off the roller coaster, I will future trip to somewhere else and I will let my anxiety run wild of all these scenarios that could go wrong. And oh my gosh, what's gonna happen? And all of these things that literally just stresses me out. Other people are not on this future trip with me. It's just me by myself freaking out about stuff. And that anxiety and that tension was definitely harmful for me. So now I try to mindfully bring myself back to the present and what's actually going on and see, so what? So what if I don't do the dishes tonight? So what if my son doesn't do his homework? He's done all of the other homeworks. So what if this thing doesn't happen? So what if I have to let it go? I have to learn to live one day at a time and do the best that I can for this day so that I don't build up that tension and that harmfulness. Do play, find recreation and hobbies. After hearing this, I was a little stressed out again because I was like, I have no hobbies. My hobby is focusing all my attention on my job, my husband, and my kids. What do I do now? And so for a hot minute, I started feeling a little bit stressed out about this. Like, how do you play? And obviously my kids are young enough. I can still play with them and do stuff, but to find things that are my own and like, what do I want to play? You know, like what does that mean? And one of the things when I was thinking about this, I was like, how do I play? What are the things? I have always loved Legos. I've always loved Legos since I was a kid. And so I actually started buying some Legos for myself and building them because the building of the Legos is cathartic. There is a procedure. So you get to follow, you know, the instructions that are there. But then I also get that childlikeness, you know, that brings me back to building Legos, and it's soothing and it's very nice. My Lego builds are in my classroom right now. I teach high school and the kids still love these Legos that are in there. Oh, those are so cool. I know, don't touch them. Yes, they're super cool, don't touch. But I have new sets that I'm excited to build in a little bit. So that's how I'm playing these days. Do learn all the facts about alcoholism. This program, Al-Anon, has helped me think about what my husband has been facing. I'm learning through him each day what it's like for this to be a family disease, because I never really understood what that meant, but I'm learning. And as I reflect on where we were 2+ years ago and where we are now, we obviously have a ways to go. Nobody's cured. You know, I keep coming back. But abstaining from alcohol was kind of just the first start of recovery in our family, because it helps that I'm not really a drinker. But the things to keep out of our house were not just the alcohol. Keeping resentment, control, worry, unrealistic expectations, anger, anxiety, depression, and shame, that's been a lot harder to keep out of our home. So I'm learning with him every day. Do pray. I've had a lot of experience in this realm as I started going to church. I asked my parents if I could start going to church when I was 15. And I worked at two different churches in my 20s. And I was, I worked at a Christian summer camp for 4 summers. So I spent a lot of time praying. Yet I feel like I'm still developing this relationship with the higher power. And that person, the higher power, the entity, the people, whatever it is, those that has changed over the years. That higher power and how I experience the higher power has changed over the years. So sometimes it's felt a little bit different. And sometimes the voice is quieter, sometimes it's louder, but I feel like he's always been there. There's always been a guiding force. So I keep working on that. And I keep working on that relationship with the higher power. And some ways that I've experienced that recently is I talked about the meetings where we have, you know, kind of a silent time. When we have that silent time in our meetings, at first, I was like, this is weirding me out. Like, why is it so quiet? Like, nobody's going up to talk. Like, this makes me uncomfortable because I felt like, well, we need to be moving. We need to be doing something and going. And who's going next? I feel uncomfortable. But then I looked around sometimes and I saw some people who had their eyes closed. And I was like, what a great moment, a great idea to, there's nobody else that's coming up right now. I can use this time to be quiet. And I can use this time to see what my higher power might need to say to me in this moment when it's quiet. Because there's not a lot of times when I get to be quiet like that. So I started looking forward to those silences in the meetings. There are times when I can say, okay, what am I hearing now? What are the things that I need to hear? I used to be able to meditate in the morning during lockdown. That was definitely a very special time because being able to admit that I can't do it all and that I need help and listening for what's important is the most important part of prayer for me. Being able to say, I can't do it all. I need some help. I'm thankful for that help. What do you got for me? And when I think about prayer, I think about the being humble. Do keep on trying whenever you fail. I mean, since I'm perfect, you know, I don't need to try it on. But no, for real. I fail each day and I feel like I fail in multiple different ways and I'm okay with that. I'm okay with knowing that that is something I need to continue to street sweep. I need to continue to look at what I am doing and apologize for my parts and whatever the situation is or was and deal with that. And now I have some tools to do so. I have the tools to be able to recognize when there's something that I have done that is less than ideal or less than what I'd like it to be, and to be able to say, no, I don't like that. And I don't need to kick myself and keep myself down. I want to model for myself and for my kids that it's okay to mess up, but it's not okay to stay that way. It's okay to make mistakes, but you own up to it and you make it right. And keep on trying and moving forward. I feel like that's been something that's been easier for me. That's definitely modeled in my home. My dad is really good at being able to say, I made a mistake, I own it, and let's move on. So I feel like, yes, I fail all the time, every day, but I can keep going and I can keep trying. Do forgive. I'm still working on this, but working step 9 helped me forgive myself for the wrongs that I committed. I needed to forgive myself the most for the resentments that I was holding, because that's making me sick, holding on to my own resentments. If I hold on so tightly to those negative thoughts, those negative comments, those negative memories, it only drags me down. It doesn't drag other people down. It drags me down. Maybe eventually it'll drag other people down. But I needed to forgive myself first. This is part of it. So thank you for being here. I've also struggled to forgive my husband for what's happened between us, but it helps that I see him as a person who has suffered and is still continuing to suffer. So what choice do I have but to forgive? Still working on it, but there you are. Pre-recovery Leah was frantic with work, kids, taking care of the house, and my husband. Recovery Leah has Marie Kondo'd her life. And seeing what can leave and what can stay. Thank you for your service. thank you. Yeah. These 2+ years, while my husband and I have grown in our healing and recovery, I've been able to focus on plenty of other ways to heal relationships and myself as well. Because I am not focused on my alcoholic, I'm able to focus on myself. Meeting with my sponsor and working the steps has really helped me see who I am in this moment and practice these tools in all my affairs. So as I reflected on what I wanted to leave you with tonight, I felt a few themes that have been running through my recovery, just three different things. The first one is strength. So I had no idea how much I could handle before all of this. I never considered myself to be weak or a quitter at all, but somewhere along the way, I felt like I had lost myself and my fighting spirit, and I didn't realize it. Due to the pandemic, I was forced to deal with this kind of on my own, but I couldn't, because I couldn't cry on my mom's shoulder, I couldn't go to a friend in person and like, let's have some coffee and talk about this, but I had to rely on my own strength. And I found myself in the process. And I have to feel that that was part of my higher power's plan. The timing of all of this, the timing of getting into recovery for both me and my husband, to be able to see how strong I am. I didn't want to have to be so strong. I'm kind of tired of all the strength. But I realized that I can be a girl who can say no. I can set boundaries. I can stand up for myself. And I can be a better version of myself. I can be healthier. I would say that recovery is not for the weak. It takes strength to enter recovery and to and strength to continue, honestly. Managing my emotions and realizing that other people's drama is not my drama takes strength. Takes strength for me to be calm even when drama is swirling around me. And believe me, there's lots of opportunities for me to practice that strength, because there's lots of times when that's happening around me. There's drama around me. And each day I feel more proud of myself that I'm able to cope with the roller coaster, the inevitable roller coaster of life, in a healthy manner. Another thing that has come up for me is boundaries. And I had always thought that boundaries, like the idea of boundaries, was a mean concept, and that you would have to be like an electric fence kind of boundary. And then it was like, no, this is the line. You don't cross it. But I realized that boundaries don't have to be so rigid, and boundaries are a form of self-care, that I can have boundaries that are aligned, yes, but they don't have to shock people and hurt them and with when I place the boundary or how I hold that boundary. From Courage to Change from December 10th, the daily reminder says, I will remember that knowing my boundaries does not mean forcing others to change. It means that I know my own limits and take care of myself by respecting them. And I know now that I can keep some boundaries that are making me healthier and helping me thrive as a better person, like leaving work at work, because work will always be there and there's always going to be more work. So I can leave work at work. I can also not answer annoying emails from work, from people, from other responsibilities that I have, or other ways that time commitments that I have. I'm okay to say, no, not right now. I don't want to do that. No, thank you. I know that now I can ask for help before I explode, because that was one of the things that I felt like I used to do. I would be like, no, I'm going to do it all myself. And then I would be like, why is nobody helping me? Right. Then I would just explode at other people. Like, how did you not read my mind? Right. So now I'm trying to see for myself and for my kids, because I don't want them to develop this behavior either, to be able to say, this is what I need. Let me take a moment. Let me assess what I need and ask for it and say, I need you to help me do this, or I could use some help with this. And one of the last ways that I've developed a boundary is, you know, sometimes you just need a minute. You just need some time to like decompress and chill. So we have something in our house called York Mode. You are free to take this. Have you seen that York Peppermint Patty commercial where there is a mom that is sitting on the couch, but you can't tell it's the mom because there's a giant York Peppermint Patty wrapper around her? And she's sitting on the couch and she's totally ensconced in it. And the kid comes up and goes, mommy, mommy. And then mid sentence, the dad cuts her off and goes, no, honey, she's in York mode. And so the idea is that the mom is like having a minute to refresh. And then she comes out of the York peppermint patty at the end and goes, I'm ready, you know, or some cheesy thing like that. Right. So it's a visual thing, but I showed my kids this commercial and I was like, do you ever just need a minute sometimes, kids? And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, so we have, mommy needs York mode sometimes. And I know that this boundary is working where I'm able to say, I just need a minute, because now sometimes the kids will say, I just need some York mode. Okay. I just need some York mode. Like, all right, all right, all right. So I know that these boundaries are working. And the last thing that I want to talk about is attitudes. And I'm going to read from our How Al-Anon Works book. Just one little section. How often have we seen a particular event or even an entire week as either all good or all bad? If the alcoholic drank or if a friend was depressed, our day was ruined. Likewise, if it rained on the day we had looked forward to a picnic, we were miserable. Now that we are in Al-Anon and learning to focus on ourselves, we find that our world is neither all black nor all white. Now the difference between a good day or a bad day has little to do with what happens or with what other people do or feel. We can have a good day in sunny or stormy weather, when everything goes according to our plans, or when dinner is burnt and we run out of milk and the cash machine eats our bank card. We can even have a good day while the alcoholic in our lives is still drinking, because today we know that the kind of day we have depends on our own attitudes. So I'm still working on days being my days and not like our days, you know, the idea that there's other drama that swirls around me and I can get sucked into it, especially with my kids, because I said that they're 10 and 13, so the age range. I'm realizing that I can have a good day even if other people are not having a good day. And it feels illegal sometimes, but it's okay. It can happen. My attitudes don't need to be positive all of the time, of course, but I can use my strength to separate my actions and the events around me in attitudes. It's okay for me to do that. So I'm going to end with Courage to Change from January 19th. Today, I seek to become a little more accepting of myself, a little more comfortable in my own skin. Although it is important to recognize and admit my limitations and flaws, only my higher power can remove them. Condemning my imperfections has never enhanced my appreciation of life or helped me to love myself more. Perhaps I can let go of all condemnation for this one day. I will recognize that I am on a spiritual path of self-improvement. Every tiny step I take on that path moves me closer to wholeness, health, and serenity. If I become impatient with myself, I can examine my expectations. Perhaps I expect recovery to happen overnight. I will take time today to acknowledge my efforts and to trust the process of the Al-Anon program. So just for today, that is what I am doing. I'm forgiving myself for the things that I have done, and I'm proud of the progress that I've made. So thank you.